So let's begin. Part two, the relationship between light and darkness. How do we generally understand? Now let's learn the relationship between light and darkness, between Or and Choshech. Our classical understanding is that of a, what I would call a binary world. What's a binary world? A dual world. There's always one and two. That's how computers work, right? There's light and dark, right? There's up and down. There's tall and short, right? A world of opposites, a world of paradox, right? A world in which we're either there or here. Or in Choshech, right? There's light, there's darkness. We separate, right? In the Havdalah ceremony, the mystical separation ceremony, which we do, which separates between Sabbath and the week, we separate between, right, the holy and the not holy, between the light and the dark. So the line between the two seems very sharp, very clearly delineated, very sharply demarcated. But if you begin to open Kabbalistic text, you begin to see the beginning of a blurring of lines. Here's a text. Let's look at a text. Text comes from Ecclesiastes, from Kohelet. Text reads, Ma yitron ha'or mi'achoshech. How much greater is the light than the darkness? Ma yitron, how much greater is chokhmah, is wisdom, than sichlut, than silliness, than foolishness? The verse seems to set up a dichotomy. There's foolishness and there's wisdom. There's light and there's darkness. But remember Blake? Remember what Blake wrote? Right, if a fool would follow his folly, he would become wise. There's some place in which we follow the folly to the wisdom and suggest the Zohar in a radical mystical reading of this text. The text means not how much greater is the wisdom than the foolishness, but how much greater is the wisdom which comes from the foolishness. Or if I can read a 19th century mystical reader, Ma yitron ha'or haba min ha'choshech. How great is the light that comes from the darkness. You see the rereading? In the classical biblical reading, how do we read it? How much greater is the light than the darkness? Dichotomy, two sharply delineated worlds. Never the twain shall meet. Along come the radical mystical readers, and they begin to blur the worlds. We're going to try and understand that blurring. How much greater is the light that comes from the darkness? So what is that? What is light that comes from darkness? How do we understand it? How do we begin to play with it? Second image. And for the next 6-7 minutes, we're going to image. We're going to associate. Instead of doing kind of formal, logical, coherent thought, I'm going to kind of image with you. Let's just image. We're going to do 6 or 7 images coming at you one after the other. So first image, image from the Kabbalistic literature. When the world is created, there is a streaming of light into vessels. The vessels hold the light. But the light is too intense, so there's what's called in Hebrew, and I'll translate, a shvirat hakelim, a shattering of the vessels. The vessels shatter. Shards of vessels, dark shards of vessels, spread through the world, and in every shard, there's a spark of light. The light is hidden in the darkness. You hear the image? So the goal in the mystical nomenclature of the human being is to enter the darkness of the shard of the vessel and to redeem the spark from within the darkness. Now, if I spend my entire light avoiding the darkness, I can live comfortably, but I'll never find the light because the light is always somehow or another hidden in the darkness, right? Image two, for those of you with kind of linguistic backgrounds, and if you don't have one, get one now, coming at you. It's very simple. The Hebrew word for breaking, shattering of the vessels, this Kabbalistic image we just shared in image one, is shever, S-H-E-V-E-R. And when you hear a word you don't know, if you're the kind of person who says mind off, go mind on. Simple word, easy. S-H-E-V-E-R. Shever means breaking. It's a darkness word, shattering. You know what else shever means in Hebrew? The word shever means breaking. What else might the word shever mean in Hebrew? Any of the Hebrew speakers? Shever means breaking. The word shever in Hebrew also means anyone? Anyone? Lishbor bar. Lishbor bar. Collect afterwards, okay? Lishbor bar shever also means nourishment. Shever, we go to Egypt, Jacob sees that there's shever b'mitzrayim. There's nourishment in Egypt. Isn't that gorgeous? And it's the word for the shattering of the vessels, the word for breakage in the darkness in the original Hebrew also means nourishment. It also means to be sustained. Somehow, there's a level of nourishment, of sustenance, of substance, of sustaining that I get from the encounter with the darkness that I cannot get from the encounter with the light. And that's implicit in the language itself, which is kind of the monad of Hebrew culture. And that Ben Yehuda was right. Ben Yehuda was wrong and Peres was wrong when he argued kind of that, well, if we only teach Hebrew, it'll be okay. Teaching Hebrew will get us not that far. However, they were absolutely right that actually if you teach Hebrew deeply and profoundly, within the Hebrew is all of culture. All of Jewish thought is actually all of Hebrew thought. All of mystical thought is in the Hebrew itself. Within the place of breaking, within the place of darkness, with the place of vessel shattering, is an enormous amount of sustenance, of nourishment. But a kind of strange, right, and beautiful idea. Image three, simple image. Tov and Ra. Good and evil. Tov and Ra. The Hebrew word Ra, R-A, is not only Egyptian goddess Ra, but the Hebrew word Ra also means in Hebrew, right, also means Re'a. Re'a means, Ve'avta l're'acha, Re'a means friend. Friend. Ra, the word Ra means friend and means evil. The invitation, you've got to somehow engage and befriend the darkness. You begin to hear a different kind of thought world emerging. It's not about the old vision of light and dark. There's a kind of blurring of worlds, and in order to profoundly engage our light, we somehow need to engage the darkness. Two more images, just to touch them. The Kabbalists say that the highest stones fall to the lowest places. A simple Kabbalistic koan appears in many, many different forms in the Zohar. The highest stone falls to the lowest place. What do the Kabbalists mean? That which you find in the depths came from the highest place. Rabbi Cook, Abraham, Isaac, the priest Cook, the most important Israeli mystic of the 20th century, said of kind of the most radical Zionists who gorgeously created a state, he said those were neshamot de tohu. They were the souls of radical holy darkness. Right? What does that mean, radical holy darkness? Isn't holiness about light? And isn't darkness about impurity? But somehow Cook understood that the energy that created the modern state of Israel was radical holy darkness. What he called in Hebrew, tohu, tohu, a kind of chaos word, okay? There's a whole set of images, right, playing here. The last one, the last image. Gavoa shorash hara mishorash hatov. Higher is the source of evil than the source of good. And if you've heard that Kabbalah is somehow dangerous, you now begin to understand why. What does it mean? What's the invitation? All right, how do we unpack this? How do we work with this? How do we somehow begin to understand? Last image. Image six. I promised six. Here they are. Last image. The human being is created in the image of God. The Hebrew word for image of God. And again, you need no Hebrew background for this at all. Let me just give you the words. The Hebrew word for the image of God is tselem Elohim. Tselem, image of God. The word tselem, image in Hebrew, comes from the Hebrew word tzel, and tzel means shadow. Shadow. The shadow quality is inherent, is part and parcel of the light. To realize my homo imago Dei, my divine image, my divinity, my soul print, if you will, I need to touch and dance with the darkness. So what I'd like to try and begin to do with you in stage three is to try and understand, what does that mean to touch and dance with the darkness? How do we do it? How does it work?